Dave. So John and Patricia are the lead pastors for the airport campus. If you're new today, by the way, for those of you that are from some of the other campuses, welcome. Glad that you're here. Not all of our campuses were able to get in their venue today. And speaking of that, next Sunday, you can be seated, folks. Next Sunday, Sandra and I are going to be at our Newmarket campus because they have their dedication for their brand new building. And it's going to be amazing. The problem is it's going to be too small. It's right now has 200 chairs out, and they have filled it consistently since they've been in. So that's been good. That's a good problem. So we're blessing the restaurant that is on the lower floor to be so successful that they have to move out to bigger facilities so that we can take over that as well. So that's what we're praying for. And also next Sunday, at all of our campuses, we're going to be launching our 2012 theme. Back in, I think it was October, was it, Patricia? We went to Singing Waters up in Orangeville. All of our pastors, we took a day away just to try to hear what the Lord was saying for 2012. So you're going to have a little video next week, and Pastor John is going to launch the sermon series that's just introducing that topic. And we really feel that this has caught the heartbeat of what God is saying for this next year. Last year, our theme was Love Our City, and in my mind, it was just a wonderful expression that we were able to give as a church to pour into community things, volunteerism, things like that. The biggest event that we did last year was in February at the Family Day holiday, and we partnered with an organization called Kids Fest at the, what would you call it, the Convention Center, I guess it is, International Center. And there was like 20,000 people showed up for a three-day outreach that they didn't know was an outreach. They thought they were showing up for an event. And every time a child got on a ride, got on a bouncy castle, did all those kind of things, it was one of our people blessing them as they got on. So we're helping little Johnny get on, and he doesn't know that he's been prayed for as he's getting on the bouncy castle. And so we were able to do that. And the amazing thing is that that organization, which is a secular organization, they're doing it for the money. They've asked us that this year, could we do a Sunday morning church service as part of their event? And it's like, I think so. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that afterwards. Patricia Bootsman, one of her qualifications, one of the good things about Patricia is she's a recognized prophet in Canada. Not only is she on the National Prophetic Council for Canada, for all the prophets across Canada, but she's the leader of the Province of Ontario prophetic team. And so it's always good to have a prophet in the house. And so Patricia, go for it.
Thank you, Stephen. Actually, we got a number of eagles here today, and I'm going to ask them just to come stand with me for a second. Sandra, can you come up here? And you guys, the Jacksons, and Ian, as well as Aquila, just come on up here. Maybe you say something, maybe you won't say anything, but I just want to acknowledge the incredible anointing on these people's lives, because I want to talk the first little part. I do have a sermon, but I want to talk first of all about what is the Lord saying for 2012, and maybe some of these guys have something to contribute. So Happy New Year! Yay! I just want to acknowledge for a moment, this is Judith and Tim. Stand up. Judith and Tim, they are the parents of that lovely worship leader, Jonathan Clark. So let's give them a clap. They are amazing people. I've known them for years. They're from England, and they're just here for the leader's school. So it's good to have them. Give them a hug and ask them to say something to you, because don't you love that English accent? But I'm a little bit trying to be like Steve Long, so I have PowerPoint today. The only thing is I don't have the clip on my computer like he does, but let's see here. I was, you know, of course, 2012, at the beginning of the year, isn't it great that it's a Sunday, the first day of the year? Of course, this is a time when we look ahead and we say, what is God saying? It's a great time to make some resolutions or goals, including, you know, things like losing weight or stop smoking or whatever. But it is a good time. It's a good time to look forward. It's a good time to evaluate, you know, where's my life been so far? Where am I going? What needs to change? So I highly recommend that this is a time for us to do this, okay? So on December 21st, I was just kind of minding my own business, or it was with the Lord, but I was, all of a sudden, I received a real download. I want to submit this, but I received a download from the Lord of what I felt he said for 2012. And so I just began to write some points, and then again, I'm going to see if these guys have something to add. But I have a few points that I believe the Lord said. Again, what is the prophetic? It's to be judged, and I'm happy with that, because God says in 1 Corinthians 14 that let the prophets prophesy, or the people speak things prophetically, but let it be judged. Number one, I believe that this is a real year of breakthrough. Now, I will say this, that this has been prophesied over and over and over again by many incredible voices. This is a year of breakthrough. Somebody say hallelujah. The things that we've been contending for and praying for, and I felt like the Lord saying, particularly the things that you've been contending for in prayer in 2011 will happen in 2012. That this is a year of breakthrough. Number two, a year of revival. Now, we have been in a revival, but I felt like the Lord said this, and I believe obviously this applies to us, that places where the presence of God has already been strong will increase with an intensity of fire that has new fuel put on it. I believe that God is about to do something also in other regions not known for revival or not known for incredible moves of the Spirit, but they're known for sacrifice and intercession, that they're going to get a breakthrough, that they're going to walk in revival this year. Number three, change. Now, I know 2011 was a year of transition, but change that the Lord has brought will continue. When you birth a baby, you continue to have your life change. So anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Your sleep schedule is changed. Your life is changed. I just felt like the Lord saying, embrace newness, embrace change. Embrace the things that the Lord is changing in your lives. Next, restoration. What has been stolen will be restored. Isn't that a great prophecy? We are a great word that we heard. Thank you, God, for that testimony. What has been stolen will be restored with interest. What has been broken will be mended. What has been hurt will be healed. Come on, God. We want to receive that. Reformation. We'll see the beginnings of societal change and reformation of culture into kingdom culture. Jesus will be spoken of in a greater way with awe and holy fear in our culture. Oh, come on. Let that be so, Lord. I mean, those seven mountains of influence, the seven mountains of culture, that the name of Jesus will begin to be spoken with awe. Judgment for sin. Oh, we think, oh, but wait a second here. It's not so bad after all. Because what I feel like the Lord's saying is that it will become more and more apparent that God's people will not get away with with sin or loose living. But it's grace that allows the pain of sin to be felt. It is grace. It is grace that allows the pain of sin to be felt so that we can change now as opposed to face him on that day, and having, carrying our baggage with us. So there is going to be judgment. Likewise, in the world, I felt like the Lord's saying, evil acts will be judged more swiftly and severely. A recognition that evil will not prevail or endure. Evil will not prevail or endure. Do you know that when that Iron Curtain came down, it came down relatively quickly? How many know that when the Berlin Wall came down, that seemed like a real miracle? Anybody remember that? Okay, that was 1989. We're not that old, but there is, I believe you're going to see things coming down again this year. You're going to see things coming down, ungodliness, evil empires. Next, paupers to princes. God's people will begin to see with greater clarity who they are in him. Not orphans, not outcasts, not the forsaken, not the least. Rather, sons and daughters, royally favored. A distinction will be made. And this is interesting. I felt like I'm saying, a distinction will be made on Christian businesses. Come on. Actually, where is the Christian businessmen and women? Can you stand for a moment? I want you to hear this. What I feel like the Lord said was that there's going to be an incredible acceleration at an elevated measure of Christian businesses. There's going to be a big distinction in terms of where you will find favor and blessing where others don't because of running your business according to God's principles. Oh, Jesus, let it be. We just want to pray prosperity. We want to pray blessing, increased measure. Amen. You may be seated. I also felt him saying that Christian music will flourish. Christian movies will explode. Even the world will try to sell Christian, but it's really the ones with the heart of godliness that will particularly see this expansion. No more lack in God's ministries. Oh, amen. No more financial lack in God's ministries. Guess what I was greeted with this morning? I won't say who, but I was greeted with news as I walked into church this morning that $10,000 is being donated to the House of Prayer. Somebody say hallelujah. So I'm like, I like to start the year that way. Thank you, Jesus. No more lack in God's ministries. Let's take that. Let's really receive that word. No more lack. Thank you, Father. Next, purity, holiness, purging, pruning. It may not sound fun, but indeed it's good. For the new growth that springs up, there be continued to be pruning away of the thorns, the thistles, the rough edges, the areas of weakness. The Lord is coming to purify, cleanse, and heal. He's coming to bring wholeness at an accelerated rate. This is the year. Next one, world peace, question mark. What I felt like the Lord said is there'll be an easing of natural disasters, but an acceleration of the sound of war. Okay, now that's, we know that's prophesied in Matthew 24 of the end times. It will not break out this year. What I sense the Lord saying, he will hold at bay the powers of darkness that rage. Israel will continue to be a focal point, but will continue to thrive. Immigration of the Jew to Israel will increase. Financial breakthroughs and blessings will abound. The revival that the Lord has begun in Israel, and he has, in particular in the next generation, in youth, it will increase and many will come to salvation. They will continue to live in divine protection. I hope you're praying for Israel. It's only going to mean that you're going to get blessed back. We pray on, Friday morning? Friday mornings for Israel from this stage. Every Friday morning, we are praying and interceding for Israel. I got an email from Israel this morning from Marnie Blum, who said that she had a big breakthrough financially and in her visa, who is from this church. Marnie's from this church, but she's in Jerusalem, so praise God. We just want to speak blessing on Israel. And lastly, youth army. I felt like there's going to be a mobilization of a youth army. Lay down lovers. Yay for heavy rain this week. They're warriors, they're healers, they're singers, musicians, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. They're 20-somethings, 30-somethings, teenagers, the John the Baptist generation, preparing the way of the Lord. Amen. Woo! Come on. Hi! Surprise! Come on. I just want to know if the Lord has anything. Yay!
The thing that's really been in my heart the past month and a half, it's been repeating probably for about 5 to 7 years. But this morning when we were driving here, I just kept getting one thing. Keep the most important thing the most important thing. Wow. Yeah. And that's by making the most important thing the most important thing. And I kept thinking about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. And that's a download of grace and his presence, the only way that's going to happen. And then secondary, you know, love others. And that way, you know, with all your heart. And we always say, if you don't receive the love from the Father and live in the presence and just lean into that, then God help your neighbor. Yeah. And I feel like there's going to be a huge transition and a huge healing. And I feel like there's also going to be a big homecoming for many people, even people from this church, but from basically church homes. I feel like it's a really important thing because I feel like I know where we live. We get together with about 20 people who don't go anywhere. And they just come out to our house, have a meal. And I feel like they are learning to make the most important thing. And they're getting back eyes off of what they want out of people or codependency. They're wanting it from the Father. But they also want to be interdependent and play nice. So that's what I really feel is a huge thing. And when every time I come here, it is like home to me in the respect. It is not this building because this wasn't the first building I came to. It was a high school. And it was the people of God who were so hungry. And so I feel that's what God's doing. He's saying, make the most important thing the most important thing and keep the most important thing. Loving him, receiving, giving it away.
Amen, honey. You know, this is probably a very familiar scripture to a lot of us, 2 Chronicles 20:15. And this was God's instruction to Jehoshaphat, who is facing a vast army. And maybe, you know, last year or this year, maybe last year you had a great year, maybe this year you're going to have an army against you. Or the other way around. None of us knows, you know. Scripture says, don't be surprised by fiery trials, because they are actually for the purifying of your faith, right? How many like those? Count it all joy? So, you know, we could have had a great year last year, and all of a sudden, boy, it seems like everything's against us. But I really felt like, you know, this is for me and for anybody. The amazing thing was here, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one person, and he declared this. And those who heard it believed it. So I'm going to declare this today because I felt like the Spirit of the Lord is on me to say this. Listen. This was the first instruction. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. All who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. the battle is not yours, it is God's. Tomorrow, march down against the enemy. The first thing is you listen to what the Lord is saying, and that gives you the courage, the faith to sort of go against the impossible. In other words, whatever's coming against me isn't going to change the fact that God's with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? If God's with me, this is just a temporary interruption. And the victory is assured, right? We're facing battles, but the victory has already been won. And we need to, you know, it's so important to declare this. Not because, you know, what happens is you get trials, you begin to worry about it, and basically worry is just meditating on the wrong stuff. And the more you worry, the more anxious you become, you lose your peace, you lose your hope, you lose your focus, and then you're swallowed up by this whole thing. But the battle strategy is very clear, and that is the battle is not yours. First, listen to the word of the Lord. Second, march down against the enemy, believing what you've just heard. Keep believing what you've just heard. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So our position is really just to keep our focus on Him, worship Him as if, you know, worship Him like you were worshiping maybe last year when everything was going great. Because He hasn't changed, and He's already won the battle before you face it. So we want to maintain that position.
I keep seeing the word trust. And my wife and I have been living by faith since 98. But he says, coming into this new year, he says, I want to lift everyone to a much higher level of trust. And because he wants us to live way above our circumstances, where there's joy, peace, and rest, regardless of what's going on at this level. And then he said, Ian, is it all right with you if you don't know where things are going or what you'll be doing this new year, when you know that I do, when the Father knows exactly what you're going to be going through, and He's going to go with you through all those things, but the circumstances of life are no longer going to hold us back, but we're going to be going up to a higher level where we are in a place of peace, joy, and rest. So this is for all of us, is to be lifted up, which of course means we have to come very close and live in the presence of God. The key is the presence of God, is to remain in His presence. Amen?
Ditto. That's all I'm going to say, ditto. No, but really it's about His presence, isn't it? And in the midst of everything that has happened and that will happen, I believe that if we don't spend the time with Him, if we don't get on our knees and pray, those are the things, those are the very foundations. If we don't read the Word of God and know what the Word of God is saying, you know, then we'll be able to stand in the midst of everything. And so I bless you.
Can you just pray that?
Yeah. So Father, how about you just close your eyes. Father, I'm asking right now, Lord. Father, I thank you for this season, Lord. We embrace it, Father. We embrace it because we know that you are the leader, that you are leading us and guiding us, that your Holy Spirit is with us. And so, Father, I'm asking, Father, that you would increase the passion inside of us, Father, the desire inside of us, Father, to give up things so that we can spend more time with you. Lord, I pray, Father, that the world will no longer have a bondage to us, Father, and that, Lord, we would desire more of you, Father, and that you, Lord, you would be our life savior. You are our savior. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Yay, God. Woo! I want to propose a great New Year's resolution, a number one New Year's resolution, and that is to know Him. That we would know Him, that we would press on for this. You know, Mike Bickle said recently, and I agree with that, is that the most important question in your life is, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Him? You know, some think He's a nut. Some think He's, you know, a false prophet. Some think that He's a good guy or that He did nice miracles. What do you think of Him? What do you think of Jesus? You know, how much does he consume your thought life, or how much does he consume who you are, who I am? I want to propose that a great resolution is I want to press on to know him. I want to press on this year to really come into this place of knowing him. You know, when he said to Peter, you remember that passage in Matthew 16 about he pressed on, who do they say I am? And Peter said, well, some say John the Baptist, you know, others say Elijah. But Jesus said this, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said this, he said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, my Father has revealed this to you. Heaven has revealed this to you. On this rock, you're Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. What is he saying there? On you, Peter? And maybe that's what some, you know, branches of Christianity have said. Like he's putting Peter as the first apostle, and that's fine. But the thing is that Jesus was really saying, on the rock of this revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So there's a key there about the victory we're to walk in. Okay, the incredible power that we're to walk in is built on the truth of who Jesus is, who he really is. The fact that he's fully God, fully man, come in power, obliterated everything of darkness and sin through the power of the cross and his resurrection. And as this revelation becomes more and more ours and becomes in us and a living reality to us, we will walk in that power. We will walk in that authority. We will walk as we're designed to be. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And that is really powerful truth because, believe me, Jesus is not coming back for a weak, pathetic church. He's coming back for a church of incredible power and authority, arising in the last days in who she is called to be as we get more and more of this revelation of who he is and who we are in him. We must know him. We don't ever want to hear those words the foolish virgins heard when they said, you know, depart from me. Essentially, I don't know you. I don't know you. And they were actually waiting for the bridegroom. We want to know him. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 29. The Lord showed me this years and years ago. And I often refer there. I turn to there and I just read it again. Where the Lord says this, let not the wise men glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Okay, so what is that obliterating? All the things that the world says that are really, really important. Get a lot of intellect. Have a lot of, you know, letters behind your name. Or have a lot of power. Have a lot of riches. That will say that you're something on the earth. And what is he saying? Don't bother glorying in those things. Glory in me, that you know me. That's it. May your number one resolution not be, I got to get more money this year, or I've got to get more power or even intellect this year. And praise God for schooling and praise God for power and authority. That's all great in its place. But let our number one resolution be that we would know him. I want to know you more next year than I know you right now, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to press on. Paul says many things. I like this. Ephesians 3 as well as Philippians 3 are great passages. And I know I have a lot of Bible in my talks a lot of times because I feel that the riches of the word are just so unsearchable. We need more of the word, okay? Thank you for saying that, Sandra. We need more of the word in us because it changes us. Ephesians 3, where Paul says, to me, who am the least of the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see with the fellowship of mystery, which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What is he saying? He is saying that the unsearchable riches of Christ that you and I are to dig for and to long for and to go for, that is going to enable us, the church, it'll be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places through us. No demon can stand when God's people arise in the revelation of the holy. No demonic principality, no power. You know, I remember I just had a moment About a month ago or so, I'm just like, oh, God, you know, just a little bit of, Lord, you know, help us in the house of prayer and help us, you know, with the endurance that it takes to worship you and intercede, you know, day by day. And you know, for some days we're on for 4 hours and that's fine. It's a great joy. But I just, there was a few things that I felt, and I felt the Lord just speak to me. He just kind of straightened me out. He said, I just want you to know something. No demon in hell is going to stop what I'm about to do here. Okay, so what I'm asking you to do is just stay in alignment with me. Stay in alignment with heaven, okay? And so I was like, oh, okay. It was just one of those words from the Lord that just kind of, little bit of a slap on the face. And it was like, okay, God, as long as we're aligned with you, we're in a good place, okay? Nothing is going to stop what God wants to do. The only thing that can stop it is us. Is us saying no or us slacking off. I'm saying, God, we want you. We want you. I love the hunger that we see in this church. Philippians 3, this is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Philippians 3 says something similar. What things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as but rubbish. Now, you sitting here today in this nice cozy church in this nice cozy Toronto probably don't have the revelation of what that means unless you talk to somebody from Iran who has had to lose home and family and job and bank account for knowing Christ. Or somebody in China who has been arrested in their house meeting for knowing Christ. Or those who are facing, you know, death. That is when this word really hits the road, okay? But I do feel that we need to get this, that we want to press on for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That even if it comes to suffering loss, that we would, as he goes on to say, I will press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me, that I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Oh, now there's a New Year's resolution. There's a New Year's resolution. I press on. I press on to know him. I press on for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. I'm resolving. We're resolving in our hearts to know him, to have more of him in us. Colossians 2, attaining all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding of the mystery of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. What are these hidden treasures? You know, let's look for a moment here at Proverbs 3. If you can flip to that. Mike Bickle, I like when he shares some of his story from when he was younger. He was in a ski trip, college ski trip in 1975, when a guy just came and said, hey, can you teach me how to study the Bible? And Mike said, oh, yeah, sure. Well, let's turn to Proverbs 2. And meanwhile, God had been speaking to Mike about the knowledge of the holy. And by the way, I am reading the book from A.W. Tozer right now, The Knowledge of the Hosey. Holy. Great. That was an interesting flip on words. The Knowledge of the Holy. And, you know, just an incredible classic book of pressing on to know him. But anyway, so Mike was looking at Proverbs 2 with this guy and saying, well, you know, look here, it says about, you know, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you, and see, look at all these ifs. If you receive my words and treasure my commands so that you incline your ear to wisdom, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, oh, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then all of a sudden it hit him. This is what he was asking for and searching for, the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God. And here were 5 points on how to get there. And all of a sudden he began to weep and he said to this guy, he said, I'm sorry, I can't teach you anymore. I just got to go and be with God. Now I want to look at this for a second. Can we go to that PowerPoint? I want to look at the 5 conditions for cultivating the knowledge of the holy. 5 conditions. Let's go through them quickly. Number one, it talks about we set our heart to walk in full obedience. We set our heart to obey him. You know, what's the use of hearing God or hearing his word or hearing his voice if we're not going to obey him? I remember when he told me years ago about, I want you to soak, and he gave me an amount of time every day, and I'm thinking, oh man, don't you know how busy I am, God, and how many kids I have, God? You must have forgot how many kids I have. And I didn't obey him at first. And guess what? That year, I remember squeezing pressure all these things happening. And I'm like, okay, something's gone wrong in my life because I found it harder to hear God. And then I remembered, what was the last thing he told me? Oh, yeah, he told me to soak every day for this amount of time. And do you know that when I went back to that which he told me to do that I hadn't done, that I found the floodgates opened again. I could hear his voice again. I could feel his peace again. I was like, man, it is not good. It is not cool to walk in disobedience. Somebody say hallelujah, okay? I mean, let's just give it up. Like, you know, disobedience is way overrated, okay? It's just way overrated. It's really not that fun, okay? To try to, you know, your way and our way and my way or the highway. No, no, he's got a better plan, okay? He's got a better plan. And so let's just obey him. If we will walk in full obedience, if you receive my words, that has to do with walking in full obedience. Secondly, we meditate on his word. If you will treasure my commands within you. In other words, filling our lives with God's word. Get the dust off your Bible and start reading it. Start meditating on it. Start, you know, memorizing passages, whatever. But we want to get this in us. Commune with God in the word. Make that part of your daily life. Your time in God. I recommend what I do. You can do whatever works for you. I read a passage from the old and a passage from the new, reading through the Bible. I don't like hopping here, there, and everywhere. But I find that, you know, you get so much even by reading some of those long lost passages. And God, you find treasures within. I want to meditate on his word. Thirdly, have a teachable spirit and an open heart. Incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. This speaks of humbling ourselves. This speaks of a humble heart. I need more. I want to humble myself and say, I don't know it all. I don't have all the revelation out there. I want to drink from the well of others as they have learned. And you know, one thing I heard one time a speaker say that he found it impossible for people to really grow in God if they never read. And you know, I think that's true. I just want to say, first of all, you need to read your Bible. But I find it really helpful to read books as well. And I know that I am a reader, but it helps to, you know, press in to say, I want to learn more. I want to grasp more. Maybe for some of you, you say, well, I learned from, you know, the television program. And that's fine, too. My parents are big, what's that guy's name, Jeremiah Wright? They're big fans of some of the TV teachers, and that's fine, too. But press on to have a humble, teachable heart that God has more things for you to learn, okay? Amen. I think that's good preaching. Thank you. I'll just say, you're preaching good. Thank you. Where are we? Next point. Put it up there so I can thank you. We ask for revelation of God. We want to ask for revelation of God. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, one of the prayers that Bill Johnson prays every day is Ephesians 1:17, that the Father of glory may give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many know that guy walks in wisdom and revelation? He asks for it. How about we ask for it? Let's press on and say, I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. God, I am asking. I'm crying out for discernment. I'm lifting up my voice. Number five, we want to be diligent in our pursuit of God, and this is going to be coming more next week, I believe, searching for him as treasures. So if you seek for her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures. We want to press on. Then what happens? What does God say? You will understand the fear of God and have the knowledge of the holy. Okay, this is not just a head knowledge. This is a consuming knowledge of who God is. I am made for him. You are made for him. You are made to worship him. You are made to be in relationship with him. Until we get that straight, we'll be wandering in life. Okay, we were created for this relationship. We were created to know him. There is this space in us that's only a God-sized vacuum. We were created to know him. Then we will know him. And by the way, even as Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. It's your glory. It's my glory to search him out, to seek him out. You know, I really wrestled. I remember there's times in my life where I was like, God, I think I'm being just too passive. I'm just being too Canadian. You know, Canadians, you know, a little bit like, oh, well, whatever, you know, we'll be kind of thing. And the Lord is saying, no, there's a tenacity that he wants to arise in us. A tenacity. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There is a tenacity of pressing in. last night, you know, we had an amazing time here last night, but one of the things that was coming to me is, again, about that woman, you know, pressing through that crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garments. She pressed in. She pushed her way through. She said, I'm going to have this healing. I'm going to touch his garment. What kind of tenacity he's asking for us. So tips, you know, just to making Jesus known, a little recap here, is time. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your time? Here we are faced with a new year. Woo! 365 days, it's 52 weeks, right? All the time that we've got in 2012, how are you going to spend it? I just want to say this, years ago, Jesus, the Lord spoke to me. He said this, he said, Patricia, I really want you to tithe. And I said, God, you got to be joking. I've been tithing since I was 19. Lord, you know that I'm very faithful with my tithe, my money, to give to you. And he said, no, I'm talking now about the tithe of your time. And I said, tithe of my time. Okay. And I figured it out, you know, and I thought, yeah, that's like 2 hours and 24 minutes a day if you're going to talk about the time in a 24-hour period. And so the Lord challenged me about spending time with him, that amount of time. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, I don't want to be legalistic now. I don't want to be looking at my watch. Believe me, I don't think we're in danger of being legalistic. I think that we're in danger of the other way, okay? It's like where it's time to press in. Now, it's interesting because I heard a testimony this week of a girl named Sarah's son, Kim, who actually is one of Gabriel, our daughter Gabriel, who's in IHOP U, one of her professors. And she was a Harvard student. She was slated to be the next Condoleezza Rice. She was a master's degree in political science, as it related also to North Korea's nuclear program, just a brainiac. And she's in Harvard, you know, pressure. And the Lord began to move on her about time with him. And she realized that her most precious commodity that she had was time. And the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to tithe your time. Same thing he told her. And so when she figured that out, she's like, oh God, you got to be kidding. I don't even normally get 2.5 hours sleep at night, you know, with all my essays and assignments and theses. But then she said, I'll give you 1 week, God, 1 week. I will tithe my time for 1 week. So she gave God that much. And that 1 week ruined her for more. Where she realized that when she took the time to spend with God, her theses and her essays and her study just went that much greater. She found that she had so much more favor with her professor. She had open doors, ridiculous open doors. But she actually, you know, chose to be a university professor in Kansas City. The point is this, you give God the time that is due to him, and believe me, you will see the returns. Time is ticking. And how you determine your life is how you determine your time. Heart, free of godly ungodly entanglements. Let us get free of the things that bind us and devotion. And I just want to say again, I talked about obedience. I just want to end with this quote from Dr. Ernie Elson. From this stage, I want to remind you of the word that he gave just 2 months ago. From here, he said this, God gave a gift in 1994. He wants to give another one. And God says, if you want more, so give more. If more of your heart, more of your time, we have to give him more, otherwise we won't grow. God, give more of your hearts to him. Give more of yourselves to him. To get more anointing, we need more structure and discipline. Close your holes, he said. And he was quoting 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 about pray without ceasing and everything give thanks and be joyful always. And he said, do what the Lord says. We know what he says. I like that. Because sometimes we think that, you know, well, it's all grace. There's grace, yes, but we also need discipline. We also need to live a life in God that is a disciplined life. Read a book called by Richard Foster called The Celebration of Discipline. There are times when it's just like, I am determined, come hell or high water, come phone call or neighbor that drops by, I am going to spend my time with God. Some of the moms here, I just want to say to you, get a babysitter, okay? Get a babysitter if you need to spend time with God. You'll be a better mother. You'll see great fruit from it. Or, you know, have that time. You know, I loved, what was the Wesley's mother's name? Thank you. Suzanne Wesley, who would throw her skirt over her head with her 12 children running around. She said, don't bother me. I'm with God. And they knew don't mess with mom when her skirt was over her head. I wonder what that looked like. Well, she raised revivalists, she raised reformists, and she is known. You know, I stood at the grave of Susanna Wesley in London, England, and I said, God, I want that well. I want what she's got. I want it, Lord. I've stood at a lot of graves or birth sites. John G. Lake, just outside of Stratford. We want this God. Amy Simple McPherson, Salford, 20 minutes from Stratford. I want this too, God. Let's get hungry, church. Let's rise. Let's stand up. Jonathan, we want to press on to know him. We want to know you, the knowledge of the holy. So let us make this our resolution. Is that okay? I am. I'm asking us. I'm asking us as a church, because there's power in unity. There's power in unity. There is power in unity, a corporate cry. There is something that he's calling us to go across the Jordan this year. He's calling us to enter into the waters of the Jordan and see them miraculously part and come into a whole nother measure of the promised land. A whole other measure. We've seen a lot. God has been faithful. But God, forgive us if we ever eat and wipe our mouth and said we've had enough. No, God, we're hungry for more. We are hungry for more. We are hungry for more. Oh, we are hungry for more. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We are hungry for more. We say yes. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, what?